is time to put away the bias, the lies, and deceit and bring forth real talk from real people about real news. Providing the out loud truth and capturing the essence of a new generation all in a fast-paced hour. This is Viewpoint This Sunday.
Welcome to another Viewpoint This Sunday. This is Malcolm Out Loud. Well, since we spoke last, we now have a president that with an official, and I put quotes around the official impeachment inquiry, is Speaker Pelosi takes the plunge on that, pulls the lever, and as many would see, it sets the country into chaos, further chaos, you might say, really. And then also, you see, the other big news since we spoke last is the killing of the number one terrorist and most wanted person on the planet, al-Baghdadi. That's another big story here. A lot of news, people. A lot of interesting stories, a lot of thoughts on this thing. So here's what I want to do. I want to do something a little different this week. I've got, I think, a power panel discussion here right up front. And we're going to take on the news here in a little different way this week. But I think it's time to bring some firepower and lots to talk about. Let's get started here and with the top stories. I'd like you to welcome on in our panel discussion here, Ilana Friedman. Ilana is a veteran intelligence analyst, a political commentator and host here at America Out Loud. One of her recent books, Hamas, Care, and the Muslim Brotherhood, The Plot to Destroy America. Friends, that book is on the America Out Loud bookstore and Amazon, as all of our books and authors and great guests are as well. So please check that out. Joining us as well, Brian Gold is here. Brian served in the U.S. Army and United States Special Forces for over three decades. He now works with the Department of Defense. Ron Edwards joins us as well. Ron is a columnist here at America Out Loud. He's a talk show host, a national voice. He does the Edwards Notebook, a really cool spot, 90-second spot you'll hear on the Talk Radio Network. So listen in for that. And also rounding out our panel, Arneta Notkin joins us as well. Arneta is a 30-year career veteran of Wall Street. She's a producer, commentator, and voice here at America Out Loud. So what we've got here is a great spectrum of the nation. This, to me, is a great sampling of the country, the nation. So that's what I think we're going to do here. And let's get started here. So, all right. So the big thing coming from the House floor was Speaker Pelosi. And here's what's really kind of different about her speech. And this is kind of a head turner for me. It was anyways. And I'm going to play you the audio so you can hear her directly. Let's listen to Speaker Pelosi right now.
So hopefully as we go forward with this, for the clarity of purpose, a clarity of procedure, a clarity of fact, a clarity of truth. It's about the truth. It's about the Constitution. We will do so in a way that brings people together, that is healing rather than dividing. And that is how we will honor our oath of office.
So what Speaker Pelosi says here, which was, to me, shocking, she says this is going to be healing rather than dividing. It, for the life of me, I cannot understand how impeachment would be healing rather than dividing. Ron Edwards, I'm going to throw it to you right first here. How, help me out here, understand, how can impeachment be healing for the nation? Is it possible even?
No, Nancy is just talking a bunch of bull, capital S with a hit. And, well, she's half right, and I'll explain. The Republicans, if they have their heads screwed on straight and correctly, it will heal Republicans and bring them together. And they will unite around this president. They will unite around the proper issues of the day and communicate very well during the upcoming election season and drown out and make sure that these Democrats, especially in their those vulnerable positions around the country that have been won by the president, they will be voted out of office. So she's half right.
Yeah, half right. All right, Ilana, let's talk about the other half here. Pick up where Ron is here. What do you think about that statement?
Well, healing rather than dividing is a very interesting statement because she was against it before she was for it. That statement is exactly the opposite of what she said in March. And what she said then was, and I quote, impeachment is so divisive to the country, divisive, that unless there's something so compelling and overwhelming and bipartisan, I don't think we should go down that road because it divides the country. You know, it's the obviously the political landscape has changed for her, but in fact, there's no one more divisive in Congress than Nancy Pelosi. She's a political animal, and she'll say anything to keep herself in power. So I don't give her credit for either statement in terms of it being of any value whatsoever. The only thing is she did get this impeachment, the formal impeachment process moving forward. So she will divide the country, but it will be not to her benefit.
Brian Gold, why do you think, what's really behind this? I've heard some people say, and maybe you could speak to this, that maybe there's something else she has or she knows, or there's another shoe to drop. Do you think they have something they've not let on yet that possibly they're holding back? Or are they true? I mean, there's really, or are they completely delusional?
Yeah, Malcolm, I think you're wrong on both parts. I think what Nancy Pelosi's change is since she said she didn't like the idea of impeachment, Joe Biden's tanked in the polls. And with that happening, they've lost their most electable candidate. The only way they have a chance to win is by bringing his numbers down. So it's a very big political ploy on her part, and not a bad ploy. They have enough time now to throw out enough dirt to try to get Trump really brought down in a lot of the key states that they need. And I think that's their whole political process right now. It's the only chance they have for November of next year.
Yeah. Well, so that would make it a political strategy, obviously. And we're going to cover that a little bit more today, because I think that's an interesting angle. Because, again, unless there's something else we don't know right now, that could very well be it. Arnetta, is it possible that Speaker Pelosi is smoking some of that legal pot from California, do you think? Or is she really on strategy here?
I think she's smoking something or even drinking something, because there's no way that what she says is the truth. It's a lie. But maybe the lies are getting so blatant. It reminded me of when my father, he only had to spank me twice in my life. But the time that he told me that when he was spanking me, that it hurt him more than hurt me, boy, did I get angry with him. Not for spanking me, I deserved it. But I got angry with him for lying. And I'm really hope that it will be a healing event, because people will realize that they truly are pulling out all the stops and lying through their teeth to get what they want, and we get angry at them for lying.
The bigger question really becomes, are the Democrats overplaying their hand? And that's back to Brian, what you just talked about. Are they overplaying their hand? And I think you all have alluded to the fact that if we listen to what you said, they probably have. But here's the question I want to pose to you. And Ron, you hinted to this a moment ago here. Is the GOP up for the challenge? Because that really is the question. Is the GOP up to the challenge here? Ilana, let me throw it to you first here. What do you think? I mean, you and I have talked plenty about the GOP and what their shortcomings may be. Do you think they're up to the challenge in this case or what?
I really think they are up to the challenge. More than I would have expected, because after this vote was taken, I mean, they were really outnumbered, and I do believe the Democrats have overplayed their hand a lot, and they keep doing it. They don't seem to learn from their mistakes. But we heard some very articulate and well-spoken short speeches by people like Kevin McCarthy, who gave a speech that I would consider to be presidential. People like Lee Zeldin and Jim Jordan and Matt Gaetz from Florida and David Nunes. And these are people who keep speaking out. And I believe that they are the new leaders of the new Republican Party under Donald Trump. So yeah. I think they're up to the challenge, and I think they're really itching for the fight now. They've gotten their feet wet and they're ready to go.
Right, well, Ron, back to Ilana's point here. Now, listen, talking about Kevin McCarthy. Okay, so he says this. He says, this is the worst defense of Trump I've seen yet. Now, that's the minority leader, Kevin McCarthy, speaking out. And he sent a tweet out, Ron. And listen to this. This is interesting. It says here, 63 million Americans put President Trump in office.
And it's got the map of the continental U.S. with the red and all of that. And the whole country, of course, is painted red with the exception of the outer elements, as we know where they are. And then below that, Ron, it says 231 Democrats are trying to reverse the results. So I guess you have to begin to question, and you listen to what Alana says there. Do you think they're up for the challenge? Are they ready to take this on?
Potentially they are. She's correct that the several names that she just mentioned are doing an incredible job of getting the messaging out. My concern is once the election process gets into high gear, how will they play the commercials? And also, one of the reasons why the Democrats keep pushing the way they are is because they're in a bubble. Okay, they've got the Dragon Media in their pocket, messaging and on their side. And so they've got this huge, leftist media working with them. And so they think in their bubble that they've got this in the bag. If the Republicans play this correctly and continue to message like they should be, and also certain actions should be taken as well as far as getting at people that have been doing some illegal, traitorous things. But the Republicans have to stay on message, and they've got to do it and do it often, because they've got to counter the constant drip, drip, drip of lies. Mm-hmm. The Cloward Piven strategy of the Democrats to continue to stay, mention their lies over and over again, hoping to get ignorant voters to believe them. So the Republicans, who are telling the truth, finally are getting it right, but they've got to remain steady and remain and do it and do it often to counter the BS of the Democrats.
That's exactly it. Boy, I like what you say there. That is the right strategy, I think. Arnetta, let's have you pick up where Ron is. I mean, there is going to be only one path forward here if they're going to defeat this ideology. But you know what's so egregious to me and should be so much to the country here? And what Ron is saying there. All right, so we the people are being assaulted right now from this entire process, which back to Kevin McCarthy's tweet I just mentioned a moment ago. But here's what's really insulting, Ron. Here's what's really insulting. The fact that the Fourth Estate is totally long gone, blasted, they're nowhere to be found. And I know you all would agree. I mean, they're nowhere in this picture. You don't see any media real. Nobody is really speaking truth here. And Arnetta, that's got to be the biggest, I think, offense to the American people. We can almost deal with the political operatives, but now we're being insulted and slapped in the face from a media that has gone rogue.
I don't believe that the GOP is ready for this. And I don't think they're going to do anything to improve their readiness. Remember, it's the grand old party. They don't have anything to counter the already war machine that the Democrats have. Almost think that they're actually on part of this progressive movement, most of them, the big political class, the elite class of the Republicans, are the globalists that would not like to see Trump on the ballot. And I don't think that they're preparing for that. The 63 million people that elected Trump, mm-hmm. those are the ones that are going to come to his rescue. They're the only ones. We can't count on the GOP. If we count on the GOP, he's not going to get reelected.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, that's the message to the next election. Brian, now, where do you fall? You've heard both sides of this argument now with the group here. Where do you fall in this with the GOP?
I thought when we started off, you had found the greatest pool of optimists in the world. I feel the Republicans could screw up a free lunch if you gave it to them. That's just been their nature. They have no stamina. They have no backbone. And the closer they get to their own elections, the more they'll fall apart. That's just been their nature. It has been since before Bill Clinton got elected. They're great at messaging right now because they're not under the election gun. But come June, July timeframe, their voices will get quieter. They'll get more scared. They won't get reelected in their districts. And they won't stay on message. And that's unfortunately, that's the Republican Party of today. Mm. I love Jim Jordan, all right. McCarthy, all great guys. Right. But two people cannot carry the weight of the entire party, especially when you have complete total jerks like Romney mm-hmm. and people like that out there shotgunning us. Why he just can't shut up and go back to Utah, I don't know.
So the message to everybody should be, this is not business or politics as usual. And that really, this is a momentous election. You know, it's funny, gang, I'll say this to you. throughout our lifetime, every general election, we've heard the words, and we all have heard them time and time again. This is the most important election of our lifetime. We've heard it so many times in our lifetime that it's like the boy who cried wolf. We never really know when that is. But by golly, I think with the stakes of what they've thrown at Trump and where the country sits right now, would anybody argue that point back, that this is indeed the most number one critical election, if there ever has been one? This has got to be it, huh?
I think you're right, Malcolm. I think the problem is that America has steered away from politics for so long that we are always on the edge of just losing liberties because no one's involved. We've just kind of sat back in the back seat and went, hey, we'll let the politicians drive the bus for a while.
Right.
And now look what we're stuck with. I mean, we're stuck with a bunch of crazy, greedy politicians who just want to be in power. And it's going to take three or four more election cycles to be able to go, well, okay, at least we have some good candidates to choose from, and everybody's not freaking crazy like Nancy Pelosi.
Yeah, Brian, ignorance is not a lead in strategy, is it now, you know? And yet there are a lot of people who plead ignorant, who don't pay attention to this, and they just think they're going to let others do it. And there's a price to pay for that, people, clearly. So our message here is to get involved in the process for everybody and get your neighbors and your friends and your others involved as well. As I always say, invite your independents, your moderates, your blue dogs, and left of center as well to these programs so they can learn something from other words of wisdom and advice you're hearing here. I want to ask you all about this whistleblower here. And Ilana, let me speak to you about this. There was some real interesting conversation on Rush Limbaugh this week about the Democrat leaker, that he's not, we obviously know he's not a whistleblower, he is a leaker. And we've said that from day number one. But there's speculation on who he is. He's been referenced as the pajama boy in the Obama ad, if you've seen that. And there's a name they put on him as well that many are hesitant to announce or talk about. But this is a guy who has a background in the past. He has worked with the vice president, with the executive branch. He has worked for James Clapper, Hillary Clinton, Chuck Schmuck, and Joe Biden. Do you know who I'm speaking about here, this story?
Yes, you're talking about Eric Sciaramella. He's a 33-year-old CIA analyst.
Yeah.
And you're right, he worked with Joe Biden, and he worked with John Brennan, whom you left off that list, but he was close to him as well. And it has been reported that he helped to initiate the Russia collusion investigation. Mm-hmm. He's a registered Democrat, and he was held over by Trump from the Obama White House, which is where he started in the political environment. Mm-hmm. He headed the Ukraine desk on the president's National Security Council, which is how he's got all involved in this phone call.
Doesn't this qualify that this is nothing more than a political witch hunt, though?
It is a political witch hunt for sure, but there's one more point, and that is that Adam Schiff recruited two of Charamella's closest allies at the NSC, the National Security Council, to join his committee staff. And one of them, who's a guy named Sean Misko, was hired in August, which is the same month that the leaker complaint was filed.
Okay. My guess is there's going to have to be something more done in the future to rail this impeachment in, because right now impeachment is a very loose process that is left up to the House of Representatives. And Ron Edwards, I see this is that it's going to be a problem for future presidents. I think we're breaking with precedent right now with the way we do things. What I'm saying is this is going to cause some real problems in the future when it comes to impeachment being a tool to remove a sitting president. And I think this just verifies it, doesn't it?
It does verify it. But what I think we need to do, first of all, the GOP needs to stop being a wimpus Americanus apologeticus and fight back and reestablish what the founders put forth. We have to get back onto constitutional principles so that this does not become the normal way to do things in the future. We just have to put a stop to this madness and reestablish what is right. We cannot continue to allow this country to be taken down this slippery slope into Nowheresville for our republic. It's almost do or die time right now.
It is do or die time, which I said this next election, you would agree with that statement I said then, Ron. This is a pivotal moment for this country.
Yes.
I mean, this is it. If there's ever been the curtain going up in an election saying this is the most important one, by golly, if this falls back into a radical Marxist socialist left wing, tank here, we're in trouble here. Brian, I want to throw this at you here. And Steve Forbes, I have an audio clip of him speaking out about impeachment here. I'd like to get your opinion on this. This is what he says.
In terms of impeachment, there'll be a lot of noise. And people have to understand impeachment does not mean removal. It means the House of Representatives, in fact, comes up with what you might call an indictment.
It's a process. It's quite a torturous process.
But it then has to go through the Senate and get 2/3. Not going to happen. They are doing it for political purposes. The thing to watch for is what our Attorney General in the U.S., Attorney General Barr, is going to be releasing in the next few weeks in terms of his investigations of what was happening with the CIA, the FBI, and certain White House officials leading up to the 2016 election and afterwards. A lot of bad things were done. That's going to dominate the news. This is a big scandal coming, and it's going to be that's going to take all this other stuff off the pages.
You agree with that?
No, I don't agree with them at all. I think the impeachment's going to happen. They are going to vote to impeach the president. That's a done deal.
You're talking about the House of Representatives, not the Senate.
Correct. Yeah. I'm sorry. Yeah, correct. In the House of Representatives, they're going to vote for impeachment. They're not going to remove him. That's a done deal. They've had too many failures. They have to follow through with that. And unfortunately, the other half of what he's saying, I don't agree with either, because the Republican attorney generals in history have had a lack of ability to drop the hammer. I don't care if it makes the news cycle. I want to see it go through the judicial cycle and someone be in handcuffs. That's what's really going to matter. If it's not, it's just a bunch of talking heads. And nobody cares. America's tired of talking heads. Put somebody in jail or go back to work. We don't care.
One other quick point, Arnetta, I want to say to you. Hillary Clinton came out and said, and just do the math here real fast, President Trump is going to be very, very hard, that's her words now, to beat if he's not impeached. Now, what does that say to you, Arnetta?
It says that they'll do everything possible to impeach him. They truly are not counting on him to be on the ballot. That's this blatant arrogance that they're in our face with this impeachment. I believe they're trying to get incite the American people or President Trump to do something that is, in their minds, impeachable. Not the made-up stuff that they're doing now. If he is not on the ballot, and if he is on the ballot and he doesn't win, then we probably in our lifetime not see another Republican president.
Wow. Well, that's an ominous warning right there here. Last point in these very first top stories I want to talk about here. Ron, I want to ask you about this year. If you've seen the clip with Representative Debbie Wasserman Schultz, the Democrat out of Florida, what an interaction she had with Ken Cuccinelli there and talking about him and Trump. But the conversation was with Cuccinelli. This was a House Oversight and Reform Subcommittee hearing. I want to play this quick audio for you and listen to this, please.
You and Mr. Trump don't want anyone who looks or talks differently than Caucasian Americans to be allowed into this country.
That's false.
I'm sorry. Please don't interrupt me, and I'd like the time added
back.
That's
defamatory.
Excuse me. There's nothing defamatory about it.
The gentlelady controls the time, and the witness will get a chance to respond.
Thank you very much. You want to block all immigration and make life harder for immigrants, and you have demonstrated that you will pursue this heinous white supremacist ideology at all costs, even if it means making critically ill children your collateral damage in the process. And this goes to a comprehensive pattern of harm at USCIS under your leadership. In August, you announced the administration's new public charge rule, for example, which would deny legal status to immigrants who use social services. Mr. Cuccinelli, has USCIS done any analysis of how many children may stop receiving critical services due to fear of losing legal status under this rule? And I'd like you to answer that question, please.
After declaring that I am not a white supremacist, as you alluded,
you have had white supremacist
nor is
policy.
The president.
Okay.
Facts
matter.
Yes, they do. Yes,
right.
They do. Truth
matters. Which is why
matters.
I'm stating them here today.
Yes, no,
please
you certainly
question.
Are not.
How many children?
Certainly cloaked in legislative privilege.
How many children may stop
means you can get away
reclaiming
with not
my
telling
time.
The truth.
So as we follow back up there, Ron, the tweet then was put out from Wasserman Schultz that says, I call out the USCIS Cuccinelli for promoting white supremacist immigration policies, attacking people of color, family separation, deporting sick children, Muslim bans, etc. And so the interaction, as everybody just heard in the audio, was pretty ugly, which Wasserman Schultz has a history of being pretty in people's face, I mean, pretty ugly. And this one was definitely that. She called Cuccinelli a white supremacist and President Trump a white supremacist because they have a different political structure ideology. What do you make of it?
Well, Ms. Schultz is a very vulgar, lowbrow individual. And this is nothing but a stupid, asinine strategy. It's no different than when they call someone like myself or Candace Owens and Uncle Tom or whatever for standing up for what is right. They use this this type of a tactic to try to stymie people from doing or saying the right thing. Now they equate, even if you speak something from the Bible, as hate speech. You're a white supremacist if you want to simply protect the American border. If you want to bring forth ideas to promote entrepreneurship in the black community, you're being oppressive. Same thing they say when you try to talk about lowering taxes and creating more opportunities. Anything positive, these leftist pigs like to come out and start throwing these kind of ad hominem attacks to try to water down or try to intimidate people to send them back in their little Republican corners to cower, you know, cower in the corner and not come out strong as they should. It's an old lowbrow strategy that needs to be shouted down from the rooftops.
Wow.
And we need to walk over these people and do the right thing for our republic.
Well, there you go, friends. That's called We the People is what this is called here. And that's the voice of Ron Edwards. You heard Lana Friedman, Brian Gold, Arnetta Notkin. The panel will stay with me into the next segment. We've got some international news and more domestic things to talk to you about there. And then a little further in the program, Dr. Jay Lair joins us with Jim McKay. And we'll talk about America's energy floodgates being opened via the Trump administration and what's behind these California fires. Interesting piece of information we have for you on that as well. More Viewpoint in just a moment.
The America Out Loud Talk Radio app is on Android or Apple. It's the perfect way to listen in to the new generation of talk shows and hosts who are ready to inform and inspire.
It's your news and entertainment network. News blogs, informative podcasts, entertaining videos, or listen to 24/7 talk radio on our free apps on Apple, Android, or Alexa. We the People, AmericaOutloud.com is the voice of liberty and justice for all. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio. Welcome back to Viewpoint, and we join you back here with our panel here, which is Ilana Friedman, Brian Gold, Ron Edwards, Arnetta Notkin join us here as we continue to cover the top stories here. And one of the biggest stories this past week was, of course, the killing of the number one wanted person on the planet. The ISIS leader, al-Baghdadi, was killed. And as Ilana said in her column and article on America Out Loud, he was killed not with a bang, but a whimper. I think the biggest thing about this story, Ilana, is this, is that it was so on the front page and off the front page, so quick your head would spin. I mean, I've never seen a major news story leave the front story so quick, so fast. Boy, they were really in a hurry to push that off the headlines, were they not?
They were, and the only one who really ran with it was the Washington Post, and they did a terrible job because they praised him to the sky. He's gone, thank God, and his spokesman is also gone. He was taken out a few hours later in an airstrike. So they've got a whole new menu, and they've got a new guy in charge. They named him already. But his name doesn't mean very much. It's probably a pseudonym, and we really do not know who he is. We haven't seen photographs, and that we probably won't for a while. And we really don't know who he is. So we have to wait and see about this. And who he is, what he's going to do.
What does the killing of al-Baghdadi mean to the United States?
I think that the killing of al-Baghdadi is a very important action because it made America look strong in the Middle East. It took out one of the worst people in the world and who has done so much damage, and it makes America look strong. And in the Middle East, if you're going to be effective, you have to look strong. So they did two things right off the bat. One was they got rid of a guy who was really horrible and has just had a trail of misery following him. And the other thing it did was give America status in the region. And that status is going to go a long way toward, I believe, toward keeping some sort of peaceful environment. It's not going to be completely peaceful because the Middle East never is.
That's
but
right.
It's going to be better than it would have been had they not killed him.
Well, the timing on this is very interesting. It should be lost on nobody. As you say, Ilana, the timing was interesting because of the Middle East politics and strategy there. A lot of people would have thought that because of the decision he made with those 50 soldiers in the Syria that somehow we were in retreat mode. And obviously the killing of al-Baghdadi changes that really, I think, in the minds of many out there. And Brian, let me get you to weigh in as a military guy. I think that's important because a lot of these people thought, I mean, you know, listen, public persona is important. And a lot of people probably thought we were in retreat with that public announcement that kind of was like a tsunami around the world. About Syria, you know, and the president, I don't think he could have had a better timing on this. What do you say?
Well, I think two things. One, hats off to the guys that did the job. They did a great job. But there's two important pieces that came to that about al-Baghdadi killing. One of them is we got a really, really big dirtbag off the chessboard. Always a good deal. But what we proved to ISIS is even though we're not in Syria, we can still reach in and come and get you. And that was a huge proving point with all the stir about, oh, we're pulling out, so we have no effect. Wrong. We can reach into any place in the world and pluck you right off the chessboard. And also, from an intelligence standpoint, it slows ISIS down because now they have to reset all their communication systems, all their leaks, they have to figure out how he got found, all that kind of stuff. So it really slows them down. And in the meantime, we're collecting more information on them. So it gives us the advantage from that perspective of they've got to kind of change their office around, and we get to sit there and watch them. So it won't be long before we reach in there and pluck somebody else out just to prove a point.
So, and probably no surprise to you, Brian, that the media did not celebrate this killing, huh?
Oh, absolutely not. There's no way in hell that the media can give President Trump one victory over anything. It is detrimental to their cause to have President Trump have a victory. So let's not do that. Let's get it off the air as quick as possible and go back to talking about, you know, damaged cats or impeachment or whatever it is they want to talk about. That doesn't matter.
It just, and I think it's important to say that, people, because this should not be lost on anybody, what's being played out here. Again, the threat involved here. Ron, I want to touch on Hong Kong briefly here with you, because this story has been percolated now for quite a while here. It's been going on for about 4 months. And Hong Kong has, let's just say, they've become a thorn, you might say, in the Chinese government's program there, or their program for world domination, I guess, or public airwaves. So the leaders signaled they are preparing to change how they deal with Hong Kong, is what they've said. These mass protests are continuing on and sometimes getting downright nasty. Hong Kong Affairs Office said this: don't ever misjudge the situation and mistake our restraint for weakness. What do you think here, Ron? Where's this headed?
Well, I think that the Chinese are going to follow up on their philosophical base. First of all, they are big fat liars because if you recall, there was a 50-year, I believe, agreement with the British government when they foolishly handed over Hong Kong to China that there would not be any real interference in their autonomy. But that has been scuttled, and the Chinese have just pushed their way into Hong Kong and are trying to, let's say, Shanghai, Hong Kong, into accepting a more communist way of life. And the people of Hong Kong are rightfully protesting and doing what they can to try to maintain or reestablish what they had under the British Empire. So I think that the people of Hong Kong are correct. The government of China, however,
is very evil, and they're very focused in their effort to try to put this down. And I think they will do whatever they think that they can get away with because of a lack of a very tepid response so far from the United States of America. I don't know exactly what we can do, but I think we could at least more verbally be more stringently against what the Chinese are amassing against the people of Hong Kong.
Yeah. Well, listen, I've got some bad news, Arnetta, for you today. I want to share with you and our listeners, in case you didn't see this here. Beto O'Rourke has quit and is no longer running for president.
Oh, please let me get my crying towel. This, you know, this really is bad news.
Well, we have less animation and less entertainment. I mean, come on.
That's true. That's true. You know, I'm going to miss him.
You're going to miss him. We're all going to miss him here. So Beto has quit. Kamala has downsized. And Elizabeth Warren has a fabulous plan to bankrupt America. What else is going on in the Democratic race, Arnetta?
Well, they can do and say anything they want because it doesn't matter. They are just reading by the script. They're puppets. And it doesn't matter which puppet ends up winning the puppet race. They're
the puppet race.
The ones that are in control.
Yeah. Ron, you're giggling back there. I got to get you to chime in here a minute because I know you're biting at the bit here with Beto, Kamala, and Warren. And specifically, I want to ask you this here. Can you believe, I mean, this is like, this gets, it's like you've entered the castle of fairy tales and you constantly, it's I don't know what to say about this anymore, Ron. It's like, and I'm speaking specifically about Elizabeth Warren's health care for all. Her program is she wants to take, and it's like at the tune of, $60 gazillion or something, Ron? I mean, we don't even make enough money to do what she wants to do here. What do you say about this?
Well, first of all, for Beto, whine, sniffle, hurt. But moving on to this situation with Elizabeth Warren, yeah. My God, she's crazy. $52 trillion. Yeah. Now, I think our gross domestic product or economy is only $13 trillion. And this is nothing more than a Cloward Piven strategy to propose overloading our economy with any kind of debt, in this case, medical care debt, and to drown out and to overload the system and cause it a collapse. This is the goal of the Democrats, including Ms. Warren. And hopefully this foolishness will be just flushed away along with all of the Democrat puppets. But this is just the good news is that her and other proposals are so outlandish. Most Americans will look at this and this will help, I think, Trump in the long run. They will reject this out of hand.
Well, they're being so outrageous and so out there that you just can't believe this stuff anymore. It gets more insane as you go here. Speaking yeah. about insane, wow. I've been wanting to talk to you all about this story for a while, and I'm going to take a minute right now and talk to you about it because I think this is the strangest marriage probably on the planet, but certainly in Washington. It is this, and there are a lot of strange marriages out there. I'm speaking of Kellyanne Conway and George Conway. Wow, I've never seen anything like this, and I think you've all probably questioned it over time. So let me share with you a minute here and say this. So George Conway sends his Twitter feed is always on fire for the far left. This can't be a marriage. I don't even know if they're together. I got to find out who knows this on the panel because I'm not even sure. But anyways, his tweet says this: to the members of Congress, public officials, and talking heads still defending at real Donald Trump. And of course, he tags them in the tweet. It's not like he's hiding this stuff, you know. Just stop, especially the lion. He has no defense. Now, George Conway is talking about Trump here, and he puts in the Twitter feed, don't go down with him in history and disgrace. The sooner we get this over with and he's gone, the better off everyone will be. He then follows up and said, absolutely, he is going to prison. He has no defense. Ilana, what is behind this marriage? And can you imagine being a fly on a wall in the Oval Office when the president calls Kellyanne in and says, Kellyanne, what is going on with your husband?
Look, honestly, if he were my husband, he either wouldn't be married, he wouldn't be mouthing off about my boss the way he does. I'd either leave my job or I'd leave my husband. and I can tell you which one it would be. But this is such an insane marriage. I can't even, there aren't even words for it. I don't know why she puts up with it.
Kellyanne Conway's wearing the pants in that family. When she gets home, he shuts up. So it is a testament to her brilliance, though, because anybody else in that cabinet, Trump would have said, hey, I'm sorry, you're causing a little bit too much discord, you got to go. So I think it's a testament to how brilliant she is and how important she is to his campaign and his strategy. But quite frankly, I'm assuming when she gets home, he just sits in a chair and be quiet so she can do some real work.
That's exactly it here. Wow. More Viewpoint in just a moment.
We are the vision of the voices. You can email us at talk@americaoutloud.com.
Hello, this is Lieutenant Randy Sutton, the host of Blue Lives Radio, the voice of American law enforcement. I am a 34-year police veteran. I am also the founder and CEO of an organization that stands behind injured and disabled law enforcement officers. It is called The Wounded Blue. Our website is thewoundedblue.org. We have produced a film. It is an important film. I urge you to watch it. The film details what happens when a police officer or law enforcement officer is shot or stabbed or beaten or disabled, seriously injured in the line of duty. Most people think they are taken care of medically and financially. The reality may be quite different. It is called The Wounded Blue, Service, Sacrifice, Betrayed. The film is available on Amazon, iTunes, and the Microsoft Store.
Welcome back to Viewpoint, and two big stories I want to talk to you about next. And this first one is really a concern to everybody, and it's actually good news. It's the Trump administration opening up America's energy floodgates. I want to talk to you about that, and as I've been telling you about what's behind these fires in California, which have been absolutely atrocious, what they've done out there, where they've been shutting down the electric you've been seeing. But what's behind all that? Why are they having such massive fires out there is the question. So talk about both of those. I'd like you to welcome on here Dr. Jay Lehrer. He's a senior policy analyst with the International Climate Science Coalition and former science director at the Heartland Institute. Jim McKay joins us. He's a political analyst, commentator, radio producer here at America Out Loud. Jim has a 30-year background in global technology, telecommunications, and pharmaceuticals. Dr. Jay Lehrer, let's start with you. You had a very interesting piece, which has gotten a lot of reads on the platform, on America Out Loud, about the Trump administration opening up the energy floodgates. Now, the president just recently was speaking at the 9th annual Shale Insight Conference in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And I want to say this to you, as you say here, that the costly war on energy that hurt America's vital energy producers and cost American workers their jobs is finally over, is what you say in this piece. And here's the thing that I think people need to take from this. You've been hearing more so in recent times that America now can handle its own ways, that being, as I say, energy independent. This was a big game changer. It also, more than that, it impacts our international strategy. It impacts our military, impacts our relationships around the world in a big way. It's probably one of the most significant things to happen in a very long time. Speak about that statement you say there, Jay, about the costly war on energy that has hurt America's vital energy producers. This has been a big game changer with Trump, hasn't it?
I think the biggest game changer in all the things he's done, and Obama spent 8 years trying to destroy America's energy, be it natural gas or oil or coal, and came very close. He shut off the opportunity for pipelines to move our fossil fuels from one place to another. He killed off the ability to explore offshore oil. And of course, he instituted rules that were to put the coal industry totally out. Trump has come back. He has approved the pipelines that were on the drawing board for some years. He's opened up offshore exploration. He ended a 40-year battle that the environmentalists tried to stop us from developing probably 12 billion barrels of oil in the Arctic National Wildlife Reserve on environmental grounds, when in fact all of the oil is under totally desolate frozen land without a tree in sight. So what he has done is magnificent. We are now, once again, the world's leading producer of all fossil fuels, oil and natural gas, and that will never end until another leftist president comes in and closes off everything he's done. There's probably no more reason to give him another 4 years than to stop the Democrat candidates, all of whom have said they will end the use of fossil fuels in America and foolishly say, oh, we can operate on wind and solar, which is absolutely absurd.
Yeah, and that's where you start to get into, Jay, with the whole this whole conversation about the new Green New Deal and all of this by ending the fossil fuels. And as you've stated previously many times, that would put us back in the 19th century, wouldn't it?
It would certainly, it would. And all of these people are quite honestly mentally deranged to think that the world can run on alternate energy and maintain our standard of living. You said it exactly correct, Malcolm. We'll be back in a living standard of 1850.
Yeah, yeah. We probably could run, though, the country on the hot air that they put out there, Jay. That's very possible, by the way. A lot of hot air. Anyway, it's Jim McKay. Listen, one thing I think every American can speak about when it comes to this topic is this. I'm just going to be straight with you and say this. What? We're paying less at the gas pump, Jim, and everybody, except if you live in California, again, because they tax the hell out of you out there, so you're still paying in the stratosphere, but the rest of the country is enjoying low prices, aren't we?
Yes, you know, $2.35, $2.60 a gallon in the East Coast, the South, and every place. California, $4.59 a gallon.
A lot of that out there is taxes. A lot of people don't understand, Jim. But, you know?
No, they also say they have a special blend of gas, all right? And the funny thing is, if you drive across the California border into western Arizona, the price of gas drops $2.50 a gallon.
I didn't know that. They say they have a special blend of gas. Is that correct?
That's what they say for pollution, anti-pollution. Well, the last special blend had high levels of carcinogens in it.
Interesting. And, I did not know that. Now, I thought you were going to say it was a special blend of gas because it's made with more TLC.
No.
No, okay.
You know, they had access almost wholly to the Alaskan oil for a number of years.
Yeah.
And then one of our presidents, I think it was Clinton, decided, oh, we can sell that to the Japanese for a higher price.
Yeah. Jim, speak to me about this. Basically, the Obama administration had reversed a lot of our energy policies and started to really decimate and hurt the country in a big way. I mean, he was, as Jay was just saying, he held back a lot of the pipelines. He held back a lot of the drilling. He really was playing a very cautious approach to energy. And a lot of people would question what was behind all that because it really didn't strengthen the country at all. And now that and the combination of all these socialists with wanting to, as Jay says, cut out fossil fuels. What we're talking about right now, what President Trump and the administration has done, has changed the game with energy in the United States. What's your take on that?
You know, basically, you go back to the Paris Accords. And the Paris Accords was one of his key points that he was pushing for years. That basically was an effort to extort $3 trillion from the United States for his social programs and globalization. It was never approved as a treaty. People think it was a treaty approved by the United States Senate, but it was just another Obama independent action. It let the Chinese, let the India, the two largest polluters in the world, by the way, off the hook until 2030. They didn't have to reduce a single microgram of carbon from the atmosphere. Mm-hmm. So this was just a political thing. And I don't think Obama was, say, our most patriotic president, if you get down to
it. Yeah, that would be an understatement.
I have often said in front of audiences that I think Obama was one of the most successful presidents in our lifetime, successful in doing what he intended to do, which was to bring this country down to the lowest common denominator of the worst countries around the world. Malcolm said he wasn't patriotic. It goes way beyond that. I truly, in my heart of hearts, believe his goal was to destroy this nation.
Hmm. Well, Jay, if you remember, in his whole campaign and his message and was that he wanted a transformation of America. Is that correct?
Absolutely correct. And but transformation in his vision, which actually was a vision of his demented father, who was an anti-colonialist and a horrible person. And though while he spent little time with his father had a great impact on him. And basically, Obama became the movie, the Manchurian Candidate. He snuck in with a cool manner and did everything he could in 8 years to bring this country down. And thank God for Donald Trump, who has at least temporarily stopped it. Of course, if Elizabeth Warren or Bernie Sanders were to get into office, they would be Obama part two.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. I want to talk to you both next about this. I found a very fascinating story in the New York Post from the columnist Miranda Devine. And she paints a different picture about these fires in California. And she gets in. Now, if you remember a while back, President Trump had put out there about the forestation. The problems with the forest was creating some of the problems out there because they're not clearing the forest. They're not getting rid of some of those old trees. And there's a lot of people out there who just simply don't want, they want every little thing that grows out of the ground, they want it to stay there forever. And they won't clear the forest and they won't get, and so they say that's made this really prime for these kinds of fires to take off. And she points out that that's where a lot of this is coming from, is the mismanagement of the forest. And of course, they're blaming it on climate change out there. What do you say about this?
Well, I've been studying forest fires for 30 years, Malcolm, a subject you and I have never discussed before. I've been done many radio shows and written many articles about it. And the way she described it word for word is accurate. The environmentalists have, for reasons other than saying they're mentally ill, put any population that lives near forests at risk by not allowing us to bring out the fuel, the tinder that dies, lies on the forest floors and makes these fires two and three times worse than they would be. They've also stopped controlled burns, which are very important in forest management. Sometimes you've just got so much fuel, you need to get rid of it and burn it, and the forest will come back doubly in volume. These are things to hurt the American public. These are literally mentally ill people, and the suffering in California as a result of poor management is man-caused. It is not nature. Obviously, overall, forest fires have been on a decline the last 20 years. Has nothing whatsoever to do with global warming, or which is a total delusion in the first place. It is poor management. And they ran Ryan Zinke out of his position to begin redoing our forest management because they didn't like that. So everything that's going on in California is not a natural thing. It's the administration in California and the leftist environmentalists that really run the administration.
Wow, that is well said. Jim, pick up from there, but I think Jay puts it out there pretty well.
Very well. In fact, over the last 20 years, fires in California, wildfires, have destroyed 15 million acres of property.
Wow.
Forests, homes, thousands of homes. The fire last year, what it was called in 2017, the Tubbs Fire, which destroyed the city of Paradise and all. 5,600 homes were destroyed.
So the hit to the economy out there is pretty big, Jim, and the whole, I mean, it's been a major impact, hasn't it?
Oh, it cost millions and millions of dollars to fight these fires. And yesterday, somebody was out there on one of the news channels saying that the volunteers they get from the state prisons to fight fires, they pay them not much each day, but they also reduce their sentences. If 3,000 people working on that Kincade fire up in Sonoma that are basically what you'd call trustees from the prisons,
And Jim, do you see an end to this? Do you see an end to this with Newsom? Or because we're at totally different opposite ends with what with Trump has told them, and with what will they come to their senses at all? Or
no, Newsom is in league with Pacific Gas and Electric, the state largest utility. Right. They just created a $21 billion fund of tax money and rate increases to cover future liability against PG&E. The company's bankrupt. It's only worth about $3 billion today. The largest utility in the state. Their stock is like $4 a share right now. You want to buy it, Malcolm?
No, not at all. No, I have to tell you, they're just, it doesn't seem to be an end in sight the way Jim, California is losing residents. And when you really think about this, when you look at everything they have going against them, now they've got all these fires burning all over the damn state, and they can't seem to even get a control on that. You sometimes can only come to the conclusion that these people must have a shortage of brain cells. But it's either that, Jay, or they have an alternate motive.
Well, I don't think it deals with how intelligent they are. I think most of these people truly have mental problems. Hmm. They're not happy people. They're miserable people. And they want to take their misery out on others. Hmm. I mean, misery loves company.
And you believe that, Jay? You really believe that?
Oh, totally. I was sitting at a table recently at a dinner party. There were eight people at the table. And I was having a chat with a fellow on the other side of the table about conservative versus liberal people. And I made the statement that I've never met a happy-go-lucky, upbeat liberal person. A woman got up from the table and started screaming at me violently, saying that she was a happy-go-lucky, upbeat person. everybody at the table broke out laughing just like you.
Did you get that on video? I hope, buddy, that would go viral.
No, unfortunately, nobody was taking it.
This is what they do in the far left, Jay. That's hysterical. You know, Jay, I've got to tell you, I would love to be at a dinner party with you across the table. You know, you and I would hold court and kick ass at that table, buddy.
You've named it. In fact, that's what I do. I hold court everywhere. I just made a trip to Tucson, Arizona on business, and I expect that between going there and coming back, I gave tutorials to about 100 different people on what conservatism is and what liberalism is. And I think I do it in a nice way. I think they walk away with new ideas.
You hit the nail right on the head. And I got to tell you one other thing, guys. This Miranda says, back to the forest fires, I got to get this in here. She says, they're like arsonists, speaking about the politicians in California. She says, they're like arsonists, admiring their handiwork from afar. Meaning that everything they're doing policy-wise is creating these fires and this spectacle. Boy, I got to tell you what, you almost shake your head and wonder, will they ever get it together out there? Because it is like one thing after the next, the poor people of California here. Well, friends, I want to tell you, you can read that entire article that Dr. Jay Lehrer has written. A lot of people have read it, and it's a great read. It's entitled, The Trump Administration Opens America's Energy Floodgates. And quite frankly, you can read all the write-ins from Dr. Jay Lehrer on the platform. Just go on AmericaOutloud.com under bloggers, and you'll see Dr. Jay Lehrer there. And he's got his write-ins are always being read, and they're always in the top of the week there that folks want to read. As well as all of our articles, all of our columns and bloggers and our host. And, you know, America Out Loud is a family. It's a family of unique people. But more than that, it's a family of patriots, people who passionately care about America and want to see justice done and want to see what's right with the world. And so we congratulate all of our contributors here on this platform here, friends. Thank you here to Dr. Jay Lehrer, Jim McKay, and all of our contributors and panelists today on Viewpoint this Sunday. What an extraordinary program. And I can promise you this, what you just heard and the feedback and the commentary and the analysis, you will hear nowhere else but right here. Friends, it's time to get involved and get loud.